the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 5. I want to concentrate on that verse. I'm going to preach around it today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open them. If you don't, shame on you. Well, I'm getting some looks.
Well, that's out in front of us.
I got to get mine and tell him to turn it off. Make y'all just have to trust me. You ought to bring a Bible to church with you. Your own flavor if you don't like this one. Amen. Glory. Sunday school class this morning, we learned a lesson about something. This is a scripture. If you say you love me, but keep not my commandments, then you do not love me. And they basically said you're a liar. So how can you keep God's commandments if you don't ever read them? So if you say you're a Christian, you're supposed to love God, you're supposed to read the Bible so you can abide in His commandments, so you can be a part of what He is. And if you don't do that, He technically called you something. What's really bad is the person you deceive is you. He knows. It's going to go downhill from there. Y'all might as well shout now. Glory. I want to talk to you this morning. By the way, ladies, have y'all noticed something in the ladies' restroom? If you haven't been in there, notice that they are now new. Granite countertop has been placed in there by a brother, and it was a donation to the church. We want to make sure we thank them and that. Now, somebody said, well, are we paying for something? And we're going to buy in two sinks that he put in there. Amen. I don't know if y'all understand that or not. That's a cheap price for granite countertops. And he placed them, put them in there, cut them, and set them up. And everything's up and running again. So we thank God for that. Amen. Things are beginning to happen. Not just there, but here. Acts chapter 12. The morning sermon is this. Praying through your problems. Amen. Acts 12 and 5. The Bible said, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you now, God, for your love and your mercy to come down and touch. God, we believe you, Lord, to reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us with your glory. Touch us with your power. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right now and say, hey, God will help you if you'll pray in your problems. Amen. Glory to God. And by the way, there were 15 people at prayer meeting Monday night. I'd like to see that double. Amen. Wouldn't it be awesome if we start having prayer meeting on Monday night and 25, 30, 40, 50 folks start showing up every Monday night? I mean, 7, 8 of us have been bringing down the power. Just think what's going to happen when we get some more people involved. Amen. Now, understand, if you come to prayer meeting, it's prayer meeting. It ain't a shouting session. We coming to pray. You know, if you get happy and start shouting, that's your business, but that ain't what it's all about. It's about getting on your knees, interceding to God, and talking to him. So if you got to shout and go to prayer meeting, you might as well just have it at your house. I don't care if you get excited and shout, but come pray. That's what this is all about. Smile at me. Somebody say, preacher, what are you doing? I just want you to know when you come down here, we ain't going to try to tickle ears with a song. We come in, get out some prayer requests, turn on some music, and then we find a place and pray. If you don't, if that ain't your bag of tricks, you don't need to be here. Hello? It ought to be what you get into. But we got a lot of folks, if they can't hoot and holler, they can't pray. Why is it getting quiet? See, I had people tell me, I love to pray, but I won't ever come to prayer meeting. Because their idea of prayer is not the battleground that prayer is. Prayer is not something easy to do. You got to work at it because you got a body and a personality that fights against everything you're trying to do to get close to God. So you got a battle, you got to fight, and you got to win that battle if you're going to intercede. Could you say amen? That's good preaching. Amen. I told them, oh, prayer, I love to pray. I don't. I pray because I got to. I pray because I need to. I don't love to pray because I have to work at it. It's a war for me every time I pray. But I pray because I know there is results on the other side, and I know my God is going to do something. something. Could you say amen? Praise God. I don't know if y'all have noticed it or not, but I have and some others have. It seems like the last few weeks we've been seeing a move of God around here, and at the same time Satan's been popping up his ugly head trying to act goofy, and it's about time some of us started praying and just let him know, stick your head up, we're going to black your eyes because we coming. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, Moses prayed and God spread Israel, saved Israel from judgment. Joshua prayed, God caused the sun to stand still. Hannah prayed and God gave her a baby boy. Solomon prayed, God gave him wisdom. Elijah prayed, God sent fire down from heaven. Jonah prayed and God brought him out of the belly of a whale. Peter prayed and God raised Dorcas from the dead. The thief at the cross prayed and God gave him eternal life. The Christians prayed and set Peter free from prison. It's time we understand prayer does work. It is an awesome ability that God has given us to cry out unto him and to let God know what we need in our life. Could you say amen? See, the church had problems. I want a church ain't got no problems. Well, you show up, there'll be one. Because we got problems. I like these people that jump from mountain to mountain. You ever been around them folks? Every time you see them, hi, yeah, I'm blessed. I'm not going to admit there's something wrong because come on, church. Some of these folks need a good dose of reality. Dude come on my house one day, he come up in the yard, he pulled up and he said, I said, man, how's it going? I'm blessed. I'm just so blessed. I just don't know what to do. Followed me around the house, he said, hey, can I borrow $100? I said, no, you're blessed. You all as bad as you said you was out front, you don't need my money. Come on, church. Smile. Nothing wrong with having a good attitude, but let's have some reality also. These people that act like they don't ever have no problems is in denial, because trouble's going to come, life is going to happen, and you're going to have to deal with that. Amen. Come on, church. Each time you think problems don't happen, think about the guy that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. His life was a problem. After he got saved, he went blind. When he finally got delivered, they had to slip him out of town. He went to preach one place, they stoned him to death. Must have been a rough sermon. Glory. I mean, he ends up in prison in a hole in the ground and writes 2/3 of the New Testament while he's there. Amen. What did he say? He said, I don't care where you're at. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. What's he saying? It doesn't matter where I am or what's going on. I may have to go through problems, but if I pray and I communicate with my God, then I have a God who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all anything I could ever ask or think. Could you say amen? The church was started in the most unlikely place of the world. Amen. Acts chapter 1. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, into Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. Jerusalem was hardened. It wasn't a place to start a church. They wouldn't even hear the prophets, much less the Christians. Do you remember how Jesus wept over Jerusalem? This is what he said. Matthew 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stoned them which were sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth chickens under her wings, and ye would not. I mean, here's a place that had killed preachers that came there from God. They'd killed Jesus himself. Now the disciples are standing there, and Jesus saying, now start preaching in Jerusalem. That's a gig I wouldn't take. Glory. Hello. I preached in some rough places. I remember one of my first revivals, a pastor walked up to me before church. He said, you know what? We're going to make it in the first resurrection because the dead in Christ is going first. I thought it was a joke till I preached there. Then I found out they were dead at midnight on a cold day. Yeah, they're like some of y'all right now. It's almost time to get out. Not till I'm through. Remember my watch? 15 more minutes. Glory. Hello? You say, preacher, what are you getting at? God said we're going to start Jerusalem and it's going to branch out. Can I tell you that wasn't the best place to start a church? Amen. Let's face it, the church had its own interior problems. Had a treasurer of the church had been stealing money. Some of y'all think about it, you'll get it, Judas. He finally committed suicide over it. The most prominent leader of the church had denied the faith and denied that he ever knew Jesus. That's Peter. They were commanded by the officials that they were not to teach or even speak at all the name of their founder in public. Hypocrisy and lying had been discovered in the membership of the church and had threatened the power of their witness. Acts chapter 5, verse 5 through 10. I don't know if he put that on there because I don't remember if I stuck it on the second page I gave him, but that's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. You ever read that story? It's awesome. Ananias comes in. They asked him a question, said, "Hey, did you sell land? Did you make money off of it?" And Ananias heard these words, fell down, and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. Ananias looked up and said, "Oh, no, no, we didn't sell no land. We don't own no tithes." I've always said if we had a few more Ananias and Sapphiras, our finances would be okay. So I said, "What are you talking about? If God killed a few of y'all?" I'm not praying for that, but let's face it. I guarantee you tithes in that church went up the next week when they toted them two out for lying to God. I paid my tithe. Wife come in, they said, "We need to ask you a question." She don't know her husband's in the back getting buried while they're talking to her. She said, "Oh, no, we didn't do that." I bet you them people are going, "Man, check the checkbook, see if we paid up. We ain't taking no chance. They asked us, we're going to tell them we don't know." Glory. Come on, church, smile at me. Some of y'all like, hey, it's called cheating. Micah put it this way: you've robbed God. Why? Because you weren't faithful in your tithing and your giving. Come on, church, that's the Bible. Don't get quiet on when I'm preaching the truth. Amen. There was racial strife, which caused murmuring among the members. Their favorite, most famous deacon, Stephen, been murdered. There was government hitman, Saul, running around trying to kill everybody that's a Christian. I mean, this ain't the time to be preaching. Hello? And all of a sudden, if that ain't on top of it, a conflict over the gospel being given to people that ain't supposed to hear it. Peter's done went off down to Cornelius' house and preached to a bunch of heathens. Glory. Kind of like church folks. Oh, bless God, don't invite them. Hello? I had a preacher told me one time, because I invited some people to church, if they show up, my good people will leave. Let me give you a translation. My tithe payers won't be here. I'll have to trust God again. I got news for you. If somebody shows up to this church and God ministers to them and you don't like it and you leave, bye. I'm here to win souls. I'm here to minister the gospel. I don't care. I am just dumb enough to believe the same God that's took care of me for the last 36 years is the same God's on the throne right now, and he don't need me or you to make this boat go. Glory. That's good preaching. I don't care where it come from. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I got some of y'all looking like you're going to take your check home. I will not tell you I'll give you money back. I got broke from that one time. I made that statement. A lady come and asked for her money back. Glory. Amen. We don't refund. Amen. Now Peter's been put in prison. Herod's planning on killing him to make the rest of the rich Jews happy. Glory. The church has always had problems. As long as the devil's permitted to live, the church will have problems. Hello? But I got the word of God. 1 John 4, "For ye of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Amen. We've got the appointment of God's word that said, doesn't matter how much the devil runs and rants and raves, I got a God in me that's greater than anything. That, come on, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. See, y'all don't understand. Y'all afraid of the devil, and you don't understand. Ain't nobody to be afraid of. Amen. Why the devil gonna attack me? He can't get to you as long as you're in the will of God, unless God understands you're capable of handling whatever he's throwing your way. I mean, the Bible said the angels of the Lord encamp around about those who love him and keep his commandments. And if he gets past the hedge, I've got God in me. I've got God around me. I got God for me. I don't care what he said. My God said, "In all things I shall make a way of escape. I'll be out of it before it gets too deep, because my God's gonna take care of me." Hallelujah. Listen, trouble's going to come. In the midst of problems, we can keep going. I can't remember the song. My wife used to sing a song I hated with a passion, mainly because every time she went with me to revival, she sung it. It was one of the few songs she was comfortable singing with somebody playing for her. But if y'all notice, she's real particular. If she ain't got somebody she's comfortable with, she got to have that canned stuff back there. And a lot of places we went to didn't have a can to put it in. Glory. Y'all may not understand that, but there was a time you went to churches, they didn't have CD players and cassette players. And I've been to a lot of churches that preached but didn't have a sound system. Then they'd sit on the back and get mad because they couldn't hear you. And she used to sing this song, and I'm trying to think the name of the song. It just slips by me. But it had a verse in it that says, "He never promised there'd always be sunshine. He never promised there'd be no rain. He only promised a heart full of singing about the very things that once brought pain." And don't ask her, because she nor him, either one, was around back then. Glory. You may have sung it later, but she used to sing that song, and I mean, I hate it. And I'm headed home one night, and I've got the CD or the cassette player playing, and I've got it going. And somehow, when I put the cassette in, I hit repeat. And it got on that dumb song. And I'm riding down the road, and it just keeps playing over and over and over and over. I've tried everything. I can't get the tape out. I can't get it. I fix to stop and pull the wires. And suddenly I get to listening to it, and that last verse just burned into my head. He never promised there'd always be sunshine. See, some of y'all need to realize God never told you you weren't going to have problems. God never told you you weren't going to have to go through a fiery furnace. God has never told you you wasn't going to have trouble. What he said was, "I will eventually give you a song in the midnight, and you'll dance and sing to the very things that once put you under. If you just learn how to pray and call on the name of the Lord, I'm not going to deliver you out of those things or from those things. I'm going to put you in the middle of the fiery furnace and be there with you, and we're both coming out tomorrow." Can I tell you, we'll learn more going through trouble than we ever get going around it. But if we'll learn how to pray, God will bring us through our problems. Hallelujah. In the midst of problems, we can say, "But thanks be to God, which give us this victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." When I got saved, there used to be a lot of quirky sayings in the Church of God. Hello? We still got them. It just ain't the same ones. But, you know, people just took it for granted. That's the way you're supposed to say it. You know, they walk up, "You got the victory." Ain't none of them knew what the victory was, but they wanted to say it because it sounded good. Hello? Come on, church. Y'all run up, "Hey, you got the victory." And next day you call in the preacher, "Oh, my whole life just fell apart." That ain't the victory. I got saved. I mean, I didn't know nothing about Pentecost, and I've told y'all this. I was interested in everything going on. Old boy said, "You need to get sanctified." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I don't know, but you need it." He was at least honest. I started praying for the Holy Ghost. He said, "Man, you need that." I said, "What is it?" "I don't know, but you need it." Glory. I hope he knows now since he pastors a Church of God, but he wasn't real sure when we was teenagers. Glory. Hello? I went to revival the next week at another church. Pastor walked up and I'd gotten the Holy Ghost. He slid his arm around and said, "You got the victory." I said, "If it's better than the Holy Ghost, let's just pray right now." Oh. I mean, I thought every time I went to church, they said something else you could get, and I was ready to get loaded. And here was one of them sayings. You go to somebody, your heart broke, your life falling apart, and they'd say, "Pray through, brother, just pray through." I'd pray all night, couldn't get through. I was having to work with toothpicks under my eyes to keep them from falling because I was so tired. Because I thought you had to pray through. That's the only way to do it. Old Brother Clements walked up to me one night, and I'm about half dead, going crazy, trying to figure out how I'm going to get through. He walked up and he said, "Hey, brother." Y'all got to understand, this guy was 90 years old, and he could shuffle his feet quicker than anybody in this building when he got anointed. And I'm sitting there, and he slapped me on the back, and he said, "Whoop." And when he slapped you felt it. I said, "Whoa." He said, "You got to read through sometime, buddy." That makes sense. I went home, grabbed my Bible, 2 Corinthians 2:14. "Now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ." And I thought, my God, there it is. I got victory no matter what's going on. God's going to give me victory in the storm. He's going to give me victory in the trouble. I don't have to be out of the storm to have victory. If I've got the God in my life that I need to have, I can sleep in the storm and understand it ain't going to matter, because tomorrow there's a sun coming up and there's a new day coming, because my God is on my side. Hallelujah. The church prayed through its problems. You see, there are insurmountable problems. Man, they had all kind of trouble. Most pastors would have left town. I mean, let's face it, the king's wanting all the preachers dead. They got the number one preacher locked up. Y'all may not understand this, but he just watched his preaching buddy's head fall down the steps the day before they arrested him. They're out there preaching. They cut one of them's head off, take him to jail, and they figured on doing that tomorrow to him. And you can bank, he was over there calling everybody, "Get me a reprieve, get me out of here." He went to sleep. Chained to a dude, he's sound asleep. Y'all need to get that picture. I can see that guy chained to him, aggravated because he got to spend the night in the jail with this stupid Jew. Because he's a Roman soldier. Don't look at me, I'm not against him, but that's the way he's thinking. And this dude's over there snoring. You say, "Now, preacher, you're playing. It wasn't that bad." This dude is so asleep that when the angel woke him up, he had to help him get dressed. He ain't got a clue. Hello? Read that chapter, the 12th chapter. You will find that he got out of prison and was walking down the street before he realized he wasn't dreaming. And all of a sudden he said, and suddenly he wished that he knew where he was. All of a sudden he's outside, done went through the inside gate, done got out of the prison. I don't know how he got out. They say the gate's open. I think they had electric eyes on them. God just invented one before man figured it out. They walked under it. This angel done helped him get dressed. He done walked all the way out of the prison. He's walking down the street and suddenly, y'all ain't never had that happen to you, have you? Huh? Y'all ain't never went so asleep you didn't know where you was when you woke up. The other side of the afternoon, I was sitting back there in the office. I'd gone to sleep in the chair, and I woke up, and I'm like, where am I? I mean, I'm literally, and I'm looking, and I seen the computer, and I'm going, I'm in the office, but why am I in the office? It's Saturday afternoon. I ain't supposed to be in. And then I realized I've been here all day. And I got up and walked outside. It was like, oh, my God. I wasn't asleep more than just a few minutes. But I like to died when I woke up because I had no clue where I was. That's where Peter's at. Suddenly, he gets out of jail. Now, church, here's the thing. They're having prayer meeting over at his mother-in-law's house. They're over there praying for God to let him out. Now, it's like some of our prayer meetings. They didn't believe anything was going to happen. They're just praying. Come on, church. Don't look at me like that. I can prove it by scripture. He knocked on the door, and all of a sudden he said, "Oh, there is someone down there, a ghost. They've killed Peter, and his ghost has come to haunt us." Because one girl goes down, opens the door, runs up, says, "Peter's at the door." And they're going, "Oh, no, he's dead." He couldn't be delivered just because we was praying for it. Read your Bible. Sometimes we pray, and when something happens, it blows our mind more than it does the person it happened to. Coker Church of God, my first revival. I'm stuck with three other guys, my brother, C.W. Booth, Mark Jacobs, and myself. We preached an eight-night revival. None of us had preached more than one to two sermons apiece. And we get in there, and each one of us took a night, and then we rotated back through. And, son, it didn't pay to go to the altar because all four of us was up there trying to get you right so we could count you. And we was having at it. There was some weird stuff happening in that revival. Brother Mark Jacobs was preaching one night, and he's standing there, and he said, "You're going to remember this moment the rest of your life." And that clock stopped dead still behind him. The second hand went and just froze. Now, they said it done it other times, but it did it that night at the right moment, like somebody cued it in. And we're all like, "Oh, wow." You know. And then we got this kid up there praying for him. And we're believing God to heal him. His foot's turned out. And we're believing God's going to heal that kid. We're believing God's going to do something for him. And his foot turned in my hand. And I like to pass out. I mean, I'm praying for it to happen, but when it happened, it was like, oh, whoa, you know. Now, did it happen because I was praying? No, it was more for me than him, because I'm sitting there praying it happened, and I learned me a lesson. If you ask, you might receive. If you seek, you might find. If you knock, it might be open unto you. Isn't that scripture? Amen. But sometimes we're asking, and really we ain't believing we're ever going to get it. Sometimes we seek, we don't believe we're ever going to get it. But the truth of the matter is, if you call unto the Lord, he said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It is time some of us realize sometimes God does answer prayer, and he answers the way he wants to. Could you say amen? Praise God. Peter's out of prison. He's been delivered. God's brought him around. Amen. That little girl had faith. She's down at the door telling him he's there. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? She was the only one who actually believed that God could do anything. And church, in my 30-something years of roaming around this world and watching things happen, I've seen some stuff that y'all think I need to be committed if I told you about it. Nod your head. I've seen some stuff I thought I need to be committed if I told somebody about it. I remember one night I was with one preacher, and he said, you know, we can't tell nobody what we just saw. He said, because they'll think me and you both crazy, Bessie Bug. I said, I understand. I said, because I'm about thinking we are anyway. But it happened. Well, I ain't going to tell you about it. Y'all need to go there and see some of this stuff yourself. How do you do it? By praying, believing God. And sometimes you think you got it now, and it's just, listen, the one thing I have learned about God is I ain't seen it all. I've seen a lot. But about time I think I've seen it all, he'll do something, mess me up again to let me know I am in control. Come on, church. Not yet. But when we have problems, we need to pray. When we have trouble, we need to pray. When trouble comes our way, the answer is not, how do I get out of the trouble? That's a cheap threat. The trouble is, how do I get through it? God, how am I going to make it? What's on the other side? It's not how bad the storm. It's if you can dance while the storm's going on. That's what prayer's all about. It's on the sign out front, but I'm working on that. No matter what they say, you got to hear what God's got to say. And the only way to do that is to open a line of communication between you and him. And church, listen. If you miss everything else, hear this. Prayer is not talking to God. Prayer is communicating with God. And to communicate, you got to hear him. To hear him, you need to read the book. That's his voice to this world today. And you'd be surprised how you'll read scripture and it not even be in your head. And then you'd be down praying and suddenly you begin to quote that scripture from your memory that the Spirit has brought to your remembrance, and it be the word you need to make you an overcomer in a problem you never dreamed was ever going to happen if you pray. I may have told this story, but I'm going to close with this. That means I'll be through in 30 minutes. We have an awesome, awesome open invitation from God to bring him our problems, our troubles, our trials, lay them at his feet, and see him do something. But most of us are afraid to take the chance. I have an acquaintance, pastors on Long Island. I hadn't talked to him in several years, but he's got a little church. He started in 1976 with 15 people. The first member of his church was a fellow he was supposed to kill. He was a hitman with the mafia. He went on a contract, got the guy in the back of his building, put a gun to his head, and he said, look, if you know God, you better talk to him. I'm fit to introduce you to him. And the guy began to pray for God to save the man that had that gun stuck to the back of his head. Anthony D'Onofrio said, I got so convicted I couldn't pull the trigger. And he got down, that man prayed him through. And he said, God called me to preach. And that guy said, wherever you're starting the church, I'm going to be your first member. He said, a man I was fixing to kill became the first member of my church. Little fella, 6'6", about 350. He started a church for 15 people. A guy gave him some property. He said, "The Lord moved on me to give you this." Gave him 23 acres of land on Long Island, New York. I don't know if y'all understand it or not, but back then in the 70s, it was worth $1 million an acre, and he just gave it to him. He has buildings on that property. And you know, Long Island, New York's the type of place you can't go there without being there. You ever heard this saying, you can't get there from here? Long Island, New York, that's the reality. There are two roads that go up and down the island and only two roads that go across. If you want to go anywhere in between, you got to take the sub roads to get there, and you can't go from one to the other except them two places. You can't go from north to south except them two places. There's one road that cuts across the middle of that island called Straight Path. It cuts between Sunrise Highway and State Farm Highway. The two roads that run north and south. His property sits dead end, a straight path where it comes into State Farm. Signs all over the island, come to the Upper Room Fellowship, the end of the way called Straight. And anybody on the island can tell you how to find that church. He runs 8,000-10,000 people now. I was preaching for him one Sunday. I was going to be in the city, preaching in the city the next week. And he said, "Hey, tomorrow I'm going to take you to meet one of my friends." He said, "Man, this guy is the head of one of the largest engineering firms in New York." And I just be honest with you, I started thinking, man, he's going to support my ministry. I'm going TV tomorrow. You know, because I'm thinking, this guy's driving around in a limo, lives on Fire Island. He's got money. He ain't going to have friends, ain't got money. And if he's got a guy give him 23 acres, he's got a guy going to put me on TV. Come on, church. See, some of y'all sitting there, y'all ain't honest enough to admit it, but y'all felt the same way. You hear they got a lottery and you'll buy a ticket. I could have gone all day without saying that, but it's the truth. Just take a pill, it'll be okay. We get in a limo the next morning, we head into the city. Man, we ride down the road and they turn down this back alley, and I'm trying to figure out where we going, because we ain't around no nice buildings. We in a junk pile. They pull up and stop, and we get out, and we go down through there, and he said, "Yeah, Anthony lives right here." And he walks up and knocks on a cardboard house built under some steps. I hear a voice that says, "Huh, leave me alone." He said, "Hey, it's D'Onofrio. I got a friend of mine who wants to meet you. I'll be out in a minute." He kicked the door open. I knew where he was coming from before he got there. I mean, this guy stunk. He's a street person. He comes out, goes over and sits down on the curb, says, "Y'all come over and sit down." Now watch this guy in his handmade $1,000 suit go over and sit down on the curb. So I figure my Jacques Pinay ain't going to get messed up much on that curb. So I sit down with him. See, some of y'all think I wear custom suits. Y'all figure it out after a while. He introduces me to him. We're sitting there talking. Finally, he says, "Show him your bag, buddy." He reaches in his pocket and he pulls out this little, look like a marble bag. And he opened it up and he said, "You reckon he can handle it?" He said, "Sure, I think he can. He's a nice guy." So he reaches in, he pulls out a rod, and he's rubbing it, and he sets it back down, and he gets this picture. I said, "This is my boy's." It's a kind of faded picture of two kids. He said, "When I messed my life up and lost it all, my wife took my boys and left me. I ain't seen them in 10, 15 years. So that's my boy's." And while I'm looking at that picture, he picks that rock back up, and he starts rubbing it again. I said, "Well, what is that?" "It was just a piece of gravel." He said, "Well, when my wife was spinning away with them boys, this bounced up by my foot, and I kept it. And said, I rub it every day and look at that picture, saying one day I'm going to get my family back." He reached in the bag, got a Coke cap out. Y'all remember the old caps that went on the glass bottles? He'd pop them off, and they looked like they corrugated all the way around. He's got a cap in his hand. I said, "Man, what's that?" He said, "See that right there? I keep this to remember I can't even kill myself right." I said, what are you talking about? He said, I jumped in front of the train. It hit me and knocked me off a track, and I hit this stupid coke cap, and it stuck in my head, and that's all wrong with me. He said, so I keep it so I won't be dumb enough to get in front of that train. I was stove up for weeks for nothing. In the bottom of that bag, it's a little light blue piece of paper. It's tattered. It's got little corners on it torn, and it's wrinkled in the middle, and it's faded. He pulls it out, and he says, that's what keeps me going right here, buddy. It's a check for $35,000 written by the guy on the other side of him, a man that owns a house on Fire Island, who has a limo that drives him everywhere he goes, who owns a church sitting on property that belongs to him that's worth millions of dollars. I know that check's good. I said, man, why don't you ever cash that check? You could get off the streets. He began stuffing stuff in that bag. You idiot. You don't know nothing about life. You ain't got any comprehension of what's going on. He gets up, goes in that thing. He told him, I said, don't bring no more of these idiots around here. And he crawls in his little thing and closes the door. I said, what did I do wrong? He says, it's okay. It's okay. He goes over and bumps it. He said, what? He said, come on back out a minute, man. He said, no, I don't talk to that idiot. He don't know nothing. He said, no, seriously, just come tell him really why. He'll understand. He walked out and he looked at me and he said, boy, that's my only hope. Every time I want to give up, I pull it out and look at it. And I know all I got to do is cash it. My life turns around. But he said, if I go to that bank and it ain't no good, I got nothing else to hope on, nothing else to hold on to. We got in the car and started to leave, and the car started shaking, and I looked at this big mountain of a man who you know ain't scared of nothing. He's shaking that car ball, and he said, I wanted you to meet him because he's the church. We got the check, but we're afraid to cash it for fear if it don't work, we got nothing else. He said, but if we could just cash the check, it would change our lives. Church, prayer in your problems is the only thing that's going to change them. Would you stand with me all over the house? Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for your love, for your mercy. Holy Spirit of God, touch us with your love. Move on us with your power. God, make us to walk with you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but God put this in my heart. There's some people up against some things in this world, and you're fighting a battle hard. But I believe it's time we begin to learn what prayer is all about. A general overseer is wanting the church to get back to praying. And I think it's time we as a church realize God's word's been calling on us for a long time to talk to him. Jesus himself talking to the church said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you just open the door, I'll come in, touch you, pray for you, minister to you. Right now, while the Spirit of God's moving through this building, you're here, you've got some things, some needs in your life you need God to help you with. Would you walk to this altar to cash a check this morning? Would you come believing that God is able to do something in your life to change you? Would you talk to him today and start a communication between you and God that could change tomorrow forever for you?